We are singing, "How Great Thou Art." My mind began to wander just a little as I turned and I looked at our banners for this year. And I can remember several years ago, and I'm not a multitude, but 2 or 3 years ago, looking forward to 2020. Because I wanted to use, just like probably 90% of the other churches in the world for this year, our theme was John 20:20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And I'm just looking at our banners and I'm just thinking about our theme for this year. And oh, what a different year we are having. I don't believe any of us could have imagined when January 2020 rolled around that nigh unto 6 months into this year, we would spend half of that online, doing virtual services, virtual worship this morning. We're doing an online virtual Lord's Table. We're doing the actual Lord's Table, not some spiritual thing that some of the other organizations have tried to throw out there, which is not biblical whatsoever. But nonetheless, I look at this and I think, and when they saw. And beloved, the difference is this. I still support the theme that we have this year 100%. I haven't backed off. I haven't backed down. I haven't turned around. There is no time during this lockdown, during this the quarantine, and all the things that are happening, did I think for a second that this was the wrong thing for the year. Because the key is this, my friend. When the bottom fell out around mid-March and everything went on lockdown and restaurants and pubs and businesses started closing down along with the churches, and we were no longer allowed to come in together and worship together or go on the streets and leaflet and witness and gospel and put letterboxing and all those things. And guys, listen, we may as well face the facts that letterboxing and passing physical things out are probably going to be a thing of the past in the new normal, at least for some time. People are not going to want to take something from your hand given the situation, but we will find a way. And I think the true test of those who may have thought that, well, this was the wrong thing for 2020, the key is going to be in that last word that you find on top, Saul. My friend, if your eyes were on yourself, if your eyes were on full pews, if your eyes are on the bank account, if your eyes are on the building, if your eyes are on that type of progress, then yeah, when you're going to think this is the wrong thing for 2020. But when your eyes are on the Lord, and when they saw the Lord, is what the verse says. It says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. No different than Peter walking on water when he took his eyes off Christ is when he began to sing. No different when Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 12, our eyes are beyond the finish line where the author and finisher of our faith is sat before us. He sat there, Jesus Christ. And my friend, I'm telling you right now, I still support it. I believe 100% this is the theme that God has given us to have for this year. And there's a reason, because I believe the true test today is going to be where your eyes are. Yes, we need a clear vision. Yes, we need a pure vision. Yes, we need a 2020 vision, a perfect vision. But of what? Of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. That's the difference that I believe has been made this year for those who have the 2020 vision for their theme and have possibly repented over the idea. And those, my friend, who maintain due course, maintain a true course, keeping their eyes on where they belong. Jesus Christ and Him alone. Joshua 17 this evening. Joshua chapter 17. We'll be going back to where we read for our evening reading already. And tonight we're going to be looking in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, we're looking at an Old Testament truth, but we're looking at it for a New Testament lesson. A New Testament lesson. And the Bible teaches us on this principle. He teaches this principle through the words of the mighty Apostle Paul. You're in Joshua 17. You can read from your screen the next verse that I'm going to give you. But 1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 through 6 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock," capital R, "that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things," listen carefully, read it from your screen, "now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Father in heaven, we pray a special blessing upon the message tonight to the hearts, minds, and souls of all the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen and Amen. Beloved, these things happened in the Old Testament. They happened for our learning. And the reality is that someone can learn from positive examples as well as negative examples. There are men in our lives that we have learned from in many ways. We've learned from some men of what to do. And I think of my father. I look at my dad, a hardest worker that I've ever known in all my life. I learned what to do at the hands of his labor in my life. And I've applied it into my life. And I look at other men, even pastors that we've seen in the past, and I've seen what they've done, and I've learned what not to do. We can learn both positive and negative from both ends of the spectrum. And this is true of the Old Testament. We can learn what to do just as much as we can learn what not to do when we look back in the events of the Old Testament, because they're there for us as an example. We see many examples to follow from the book of Joshua, especially the book of Joshua. I'm loving the book of Joshua right now. I'm in it during my Old Testament morning reading, or one of my Old Testament morning readings, and I just love reading through the book of Joshua. We see these examples through Joshua. We see Joshua as a book of victory, if you will. It contains a beautiful picture of the victorious Christian life. And guys, that's the thought that I want us to look at this evening. I want us to look as the children of Israel have gone into the promised land, which represents fullness and faithfulness. It represents victory tonight. I want us to look at living the victorious Christian life today. You say, preacher, you don't understand. We're in lockdown. We're in quarantine. We can't do anything. Listen, you can live a victorious life whether you're on lockdown or whether you're locked up or locked down. You can live a victorious life whether you're in this world or walking around this world or not. You can live a victorious life, and we're given examples in the Old Testament of how to do that and sometimes how not to do it, my friend. Many years ago, I taught a class here during our midweek service, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was our PM midweek service, and it was titled, How to Study the Bible. Now, there's three questions that one has to ask themselves while reading and studying the Word of God. Number one, they need to ask themselves, what did it mean then? What did it mean then? And don't make it mean anything more or less than it says, my friend. It means what it says, and it says what it means. Don't get into this, get into it too deep and try to make it say something that it doesn't really say. So number one, you have to ask yourself, what did it mean then? Number two, how does it apply now? How does it apply now? I'm studying and reading the Word of God. I'm saying, okay, I'm reading Joshua 17. What did it mean then? Now, number two, how can it apply now? And then, number three, how does it apply to me personally? Okay, sometimes there's a difference between number two and number three. There's a difference of how it applies now in today's world and how it applies to me personally. What we find is the children of Israel have gone into the promised land. And again, I said this a moment ago, it represents fullness and faithfulness. That's what that represents, the promised land does. It's a picture of living a victorious Christian life in the world that we live in today. Now, we as Bible-believing Christians should be living a victorious life, hands down. That's what we should be living. We have won the war. The war has been over with. There's many battles between here and now, but the war has been won. We should be living a full and fruitful life of victory. And this is not to say a problem-free life. This is not to say a worry-free life. This is not to say a concern-free or sickness-free or trouble-free or tragedy-free. But it is a victorious life that we should live today in this world. So look at me again as we lay a foundation in verses 12 and 13 of Joshua 17. The Bible says, yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. Now guys, there is no reason, there was absolutely, positively no reason they could not have driven the Canaanites out of the land. They were instructed prior to going into this land, it was the words that God gave unto Moses, Moses gave unto them, and then from that point forward is given unto Joshua, Joshua gave it unto them. You had leaders such as Caleb, who was 85 years old and yet still strong as he was when he was 40, coming in and going out, fighting in battles. There was no reason whatsoever why these children of Manasseh could not go in and have the victorious life and live the victorious life in the midst. There was no reason they should not have driven the Canaanites out. The problem is not what they could not do. The reality is what they would not do. And there's an issue here. There are still Canaanites living in the land of where they're going to live. God said, I don't want you living around them. The Canaanites were a devil-possessed people. They represent the power of Satan. They were driven to keep them from living a full and fruitful, victorious life. And how we apply that in our world today is that this group of people, or this typology of people, these are those that are trying, whatever's in our life, trying to inhibit us from living a full and fruitful, victorious life as a Christian. God's children were keeping company with devil-possessed people. You heard about a devil-possessed person this morning, the tragic life of a devil-possessed person. There are devil-possessed people keeping and hindering the people of God from having a full and victorious life even yet today. So there are three things that I want us to see tonight. I want to bring these to your attention today on how we can live a victorious life. Three things that we need to look at and what will hinder us to live this life if we are not careful. The first thing that I want you to find is I want you to find compromise. There's a compromise in the midst of them. God has a plan for His people, my friend. The plan that He had for Israel when they came into the promised land was total and complete occupation. God said, drive them from the land. From border to border, you drive them utterly out, utterly destroy them. Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. He's given it to you. Guys, listen, this promised land was given unto the nation of Israel. It was given to them, my friend. And let me say this to you here this evening. The victorious life has been given to you. However, you've got to take it. That promised land was given unto the nation of Israel. Even though they had the inhabitants of the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and all these others, God said, you're going to drive them out from border to border. You're going to get rid of them. You're not going to dwell with them. You're not going to learn the way of the heathen. You're not going to learn their pagan activities. You're not going to learn their pagan lifestyle. You're not going to do that. This is what I want you to do. And that's what's going to ensure full and fruitful life. That's what's going to ensure a victorious life. So I ask you this question tonight. God has given you victory. But are you living a victorious life this evening? Are you living in victory over the flesh? Are you living in victory over the world? Are you living in victory over the devil tonight? Or are you dwelling with the inhabitants of the land? Guys, a Christian who is not living in victory is an anomaly and it is unnatural. If you are living an unvictorious life today, it is an anomaly in the Christian faith. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given you the victory. Have you taken the victorious life? He's given it to you. He said, here it is. This is yours, but have you taken it? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Can I tell you something this evening? I mean, there is but one alternative to victory, and that's defeat. There is no middle ground. There is no halfway. There is no half-stepping. If you're going to live, you're either living a victorious life or you're living a defeated life today. One of the two. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. He rose 3 days later. He has given us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us, causes us to triumph in Christ always and in every place. But you got to take it. You got to be willing to live in victory. Victory, guys. Victory is defined as the act of defeating an enemy or opponent in a battle, game, or other competition. This is where so many fall short in our world today. You say, well, preacher, I want to live a victorious life. I want to have a happy life. Guys, sometimes victorious living doesn't equate to happy living. We're not running around like, you know, giddy and happy and bouncy all the time. That's not reality, my friend. Listen, I'll tell you what that is. That comes from the pharmacy is what that comes from. As a matter of fact, the word sorcery comes from the Greek word pharmakeia. Same word that we get pharmacy, which is pharmaceuticals, okay? People who they're living in the clouds all the time because the medication they're taking, that's unnatural as well. But I'm telling you tonight that God has given us the victory through Jesus Christ. He calls us to have the triumph always in Christ. And we are either living a victorious life or a defeated life. It is our choice tonight. Doesn't always mean happy. It can mean joyous, though. So, this is where the children of Israel, this is where we take an Old Testament event, put it into a New Testament illustration. Children of Israel fell short. This is where they fall short, and so many today do. Israel fell short. We are to have the victory, number one, over the world. Over the world. And I'm talking about as a system and how it operates contrary to Christianity. The world system operates contrary to Christianity. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We've overcome the world. That's the world system, my friend. Okay? So, we're talking about living a victorious life in Christ tonight. The way that you're not going to live a victorious life, the way that you're going to live in defeat, is to compromise what God has told us to do and how to do it. Amen? So, number one, we have victory over the world. Number two, we have victory over the flesh. Your flesh cannot be coddled, it cannot be condoned, it cannot be contributed, it must be crucified. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. Crucified, guys, that means to make dead, to kill. Our little faults are not to be a source of amusement or entertainment or the butt of jokes, guys. They are to be removed, they are to be crucified. The spiritual instability that we have in life, the roller coaster of emotions, the anger, the temper, the lies, the deceit, the secrecy that we carry along in our life, we need to crucify those things to make dead, to be killed. That's how you live a victorious life. Now, I know it may sound, it may sound terrible to someone who doesn't understand the Word of God or the economy at the time during the days of Joshua and as Israel came into this promised land. But they were to drive these pagans out. They were to drive the Canaanite out. They were not to live and not to dwell amongst them. They were not to make them tributaries to them and slaves either. They were to rid them out of the land. They wasn't to sit there and play with them. They wasn't to sit there and profit from them or to benefit from them, as we do many a ways in our life with our spiritual instabilities, our roller coaster of emotions, our anger, our tempers, our lies, our deceit, and our secrecy. Whatever it may be, they are to be crucified. They are to be killed. They are to be made dead. Beloved, we are growing. We are to be growing if we are living. Had a man tell me years ago, if something ain't growing, it's dying. So we are to have victory, my friend. We have victory over the world. We are to have victory over the flesh. We are to have victory over the devil. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You will not find any time, at any place, or any word of God, any scripture tonight, you will never find that a Christian is commanded to lay hands on anyone who has the devil inside of them and cast them out. Not a Christian. You're not an apostle, you do not have the apostolic signs, and you do not have the power that was given unto the apostles, and it's not used for today. You're to pray them out, bless God. And I'll tell you right now, you submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. If you think you're going to turn and burn, you're going to turn and you're going to fight him, you're going to lose every time. You are no match for the devil. There are men stronger than you. There are men strong, more mightier than I will ever be. There's men that have more strength than their pinky finger than I'll ever have in my entire spiritual life that fell prey to him that quick. You're no match. The Word of God has given us a commandment. Submit yourselves to therefore to God. That's number one. Resist the devil. Number two, the result is he'll flee from you. There are three types of Canaanites the children of God kept in their country. Three types I'm going to give you. And we can see them as a sinful character issues in our own life, in our lives by compromise. When we allow compromise to come into our world today, we see, just like these Canaanites that were left in this land, we see the very same things. Number one, you're going to see there were the sins, if you will, of favor. Of favor. Look in verse 13 of Joshua 17. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. When the children of Israel were strong enough to remove the Canaanites, get that, that's important to understand. They were waxing strong. They could remove them. They could have driven them out of the land. They chose not to. They chose not to do so. But rather, you know what they did? They sought benefit from them. They sought to tame their sins. When you put this character, this type of this illustration, and you put it into our world today, we try to find favor amongst our sins. We see that if we can just tame it, maybe slow it down. Many have done this very thing. We have justified lying. We've justified shacking up. We've justified stealing. We've justified discord by saying, you know what, that's just the way the world is today. We've looked at the weight of sin in our own life, and we've devised plans to benefit from them. There are people who have felt as if they could just tame or contribute certain sins to benefit their own life. And that's what Israel did that day. They were strong enough to get them out of the land as God commanded. They were strong enough to obey God and reap the benefits and blessings from God. But rather, they chose favor amongst themselves. Just because your friends or your family does something does not make it right. It doesn't mean that you have to do it. If it was sin 100 years ago, it's sin today. Say amen. Favor. And my friend, let me tell you, just because your family has always done something and you've bought into this lie of it's just the way we are, you don't have to keep doing it.
Right.
Just because you may have been raised up and with an attribute or a sin that brings misery and conflict and tragedy and is destroying your home, it doesn't mean you have to continue therein. You can't crucify that sin. So my friend, we find favor was a little compromise of their sins. We see the other type is that of fear. Look in verses 15 through 16. The Bible says here in verse 15 and 16, says, "And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up unto the wood country and cut down for thyselves there in the land of the Pezorites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee." And the children of Joseph says, "The hill is not enough for us. All the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel." Here's what happened. And you missed verse 14. I did that on purpose because we'll come back later on. But it says, "And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot, one portion to inherit, seeing that I am a great people?" Joshua's comment back to them was this: "If you're telling me you're so great, then get up there and make your own." These people are saying, "You're telling us to get rid of our sins, but they're too strong in our lives. They were afraid. They got chariots of iron." Satan will come to entice you or to terrify you. The devil has convinced people today that they cannot live in victory, that they have to live in defeat. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're a child of God, if you're born again of the blood of Christ, the victory is already yours. You just got to start living in that victory. Amen. If you're here today and you're listening and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the very first step to having that victorious living today is not your emotions, not your feelings, not your mentality, not your intelligence, not your education, not your physical strength, but it's surrendering your heart and your life to Jesus Christ and making Him your Savior today.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, there is no sin in your life you cannot have victory over. Not one that you cannot overcome, because He always giveth the triumph in Jesus Christ. Psalm 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." I remember when I was a little kid, and I don't know if this will translate over here or not. I believe it will. A good friend of mine, he knows about old Woody Woodpecker. Woody Woodpecker. I remember in early Saturday mornings watching the old Woody Woodpecker cartoons. That old woodpecker would go around and he would do this and that. And I remember he had a conflict with another bird or another, I can't even remember what it was, but a bird or something. And he kept losing and losing and losing. And at the very end, the old Woody Woodpecker adage was this: "If you can't beat them, join them." And that's what the nation of Israel was doing. That's what the children of Joseph, the children of Manasseh, you know, that's what they were doing here. Because of fear, my friend. Because of favor, my friend. They said, "You can't beat them, join them." That was the warning. That's why God said, "Get rid of them so that you won't join them. So that you won't learn the way of the heathen." We live in a world today that immorality has ran rampant. Divorce has become an epidemic in our society, so people figure they just play house and won't get married anymore. The only reason the divorce rate has slightly dropped is because our marriage rates have dropped. It has been proven that 80% of those who wed after shacking up will end up in divorce, when or if they ever do marry. Our drug culture today, we have bowed to drugs by legalizing them. Did it help? No. It's broken homes, it's raised unemployment, it's increased crimes, road deaths. They're at the highest that they ever have been. Why? Because we've bowed down out of fear and said, "We can't beat them, let's just join them. If we can't get rid of it, let's just legalize it." Lying has become a thing of just common everyday activities. The truth has become something of relative action. Treason. Treason used to be punishable by death, and yet today, those who commit this crime are marked as heroes. Legalizing sin does not make it right, my friend. So we find that the Israelites coming to the promised land, God had given them this land. He says, get rid of all the Canaanites. Make them out. Get rid of them. Drive them out of the land. And you know what they did when they were strong enough to do it? They didn't do it, but yet they had favor. They sought favor in the midst of their sin by benefiting from them. After that, it led to fear. They said, look, we can't. They got chariots of iron up there. Thirdly, what we find is fellowship. Fellowship. Look in Judges chapter 1 with me. I think I told you I wouldn't have you turn. I apologize. But look in Judges chapter 1 with me real quick, and I'll hurry along here. Judges chapter 1. Watch this. Judges chapter 1. Look down to verse 32. Judges 1 and verse 32. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. It's that simple. For they did not. They simply did not. They could have, but they didn't. They settled in, they dwelt with them, and before you know it, they learned the ways of a devil-possessed people. They learned the way of the heathen. Beloved, we are to witness and testify of the greatness of our Lord to the people that are possessed in this world today. Should they be dispossessed, we should witness the greatness of the Lord's gospel to the world today to give them victory that we have. But if we don't take that victory up and live in that victorious living today, we will never be able to testify of the goodness of God's grace. When we fellowship with sin and we hold it tenderly and learn the way of the wicked, beloved, we become an enemy of God. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Again, we aren't to cuddle or condone or contribute, neither are we to conform to sin. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My friend, if you know the will of God for your life, it's to not conform to this world, but be transformed. That's the only way you're going to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So are there Canaanites in your life? Are there sins in your life that you favor, that you fear, that you fellowship with? They're there because of compromise. Quickly tonight, and we'll be done. There's Canaanites in our life because of conceit. Because of conceit. Let's look back there at the children of Joseph and look back in Joshua 17. And we'll look in verse 14 with me and 15 real quick. I told you we'd come back to this verse. Verse 14 says, and the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself in the land of the Pezerites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. We're a great people, they say. Beloved, they were living a compromising life, yet full of conceit. They were full of pride. Pride will always rob you of victory in your life. Pride will rob you of the victory that you should have in your life. Romans 12:3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. If you think that you can't fall today, you're already stumbling. These children of Israel were failing to do and to be who and what God wanted them to be. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Beloved, our trust cannot be in what we can do or who we are, but our trust must be in what the Lord will do and who He is. Lastly, beloved, we must understand. We must understand that if we are to live a victorious life, one that is without compromise, one that is without conceit, it must be especially without clutter. Without clutter. Look at verse 16 with me. We're going to read down to verse 18, but I want you to see verse 16 just real quick. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. Now watch this. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Trees, my friend. Trees. You say, preacher, I don't know where you're going here. Just buckle in your pew belts. We're nearly finishing. You'll see where we need to go. These trees, this mountain, this hill country was full of these trees. And this is what he said. It's a wood country. Go cut it down. He said, if you want more land, clear out the clutter in your life. If you want more, of the victorious life, you need to get rid of some clutter that's in your life, my friend. You got the land out there. You got the victory out there. Guys, listen, the victorious life is there, but you can't see it because of the clutter. The clutter's there because of the conceit. The conceit is there because you compromised. That's what's holding you back from victorious living today. My friend, this land is a picture of our life. And Christians who are not living a victorious life have a life that is filled, a land that is filled with Canaanites that they favor, that they fear, and they fellowship with. Beloved, there is plenty of room out in our life. And we have the land. We just need to clear out the clutter. We need to get rid of some things in our life. So do you want more land? Do you want more of a victorious life? Well, clean out the things that are harming your life. Clean out the trees, man. Cut them down. Clear the land a little bit. Trees are good things. But they were cluttering up the land. If you want to build a building on the land, you're going to have to clear some trees out. If you want to build a home in your land, you're going to have to clear some trees out. If you want to build a family in that land and make it strong, you're going to have to clear the area out. Get rid of some clutter in your life, my friend. If you don't have enough time for prayer, Bible study in your life's too cluttered. If you don't have enough time for church, much less today from the comfort of your own home, you've got too much clutter in your life. You need to start cutting some trees down. The Lord's given us enough time to do graciously all that we need to do. So I'm asking you to take time. Take time by cleaning the clutter out of your life. Beloved, all we need to do is just get alone with God. We just need to get alone with God, spend some time with Him, and start cleaning some things out. If we're going to live a victorious life, there are the harmless things in our life, the trees. They're cluttering up. There are the harmful things in our life that corrupt. But if you're going to get rid of the corrupt things in your life, you're first going to have to cut some trees down. If you're going to get rid of those giants that are down there, those chariots of iron, those giants in the land, you're going to have to clear the land out first so that you have room to fight. Because victory's on the other side. The answer's clear tonight. Worship comes before work. Worship comes before warfare. And this is how you'll set boundaries and borders and bulwarks in your own life, which will enable you to live the victorious Christian life. Will you bow your heads with me tonight? Father in heaven, I thank you again for the opportunity and time to be together. I pray, Father, that you would move and take your word and write it upon the table of our hearts. I ask of you, Lord, that we would examine our own lives to see what clutter that may be there, the harmless clutter and the harmful corruption. Lord, if there be any conceit found in the midst of our days, Lord, any compromising steps that we have taken, I pray that we would remove them so that we can partake in the victorious life that you have given us, the victorious living in this world today, that you cause us to have that triumph, Father. Us who are more than conquerors. We come to you and bow our hearts and minds now that you may receive the glory and the credit for all things. Lord, we ask you this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hope and pray that the preaching and teaching